Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast. All right. This is very important, okay? This is a diagram that we use, that we teach from in Date with Your Dark Side. Which, if you haven't done that, you really, everybody in the world should do this, because this is the problem that everybody's actually facing. The problem is this, that it's the way that we're raised and what it is that we're taught. We're not actually taught how to think, how to use our brain as a tool to think correctly. We're taught how to think reactively and based on the lie that we need to be safe. So that's how this mess runs people's lives, okay? So let's start with this idea. When we're born genetically in our DNA, what we need to live, the first thing that we're concerned with is security. Without mom and dad, we don't survive, we die, right? So being that that's a truth, what happens is that we're born with this ability to be very insecure. We're not insecure when we're born because we've been inside this wonderful case called our mother for 9 months. We're very secure in there. All of our needs are met in that place. The first thing that happens when we come out is we're separated from our mother. The umbilical cord is cut. That's where our independence starts, or should. But it's also the place where it starts the crippling procedure of making us dependent upon somebody else. So literally what happens is that we need mom and dad to survive. How they communicate to us that love, that we're okay, at the same time beginning to teach us how to be independent, is critical to our inner development. So if mom and dad are insecure, if mom and dad are chaotic, if mom and dad have fears, that information is being transferred to us, and it's going into our mind as the foundation of how we think in the world. By the age of 7, when we develop a conscious mind, then what it literally does is it tells our conscious mind to look for all these things that we need to do to be safe. All the judgments are already there. Mom and dad gave them to us. All the fears are already there. Mom and dad gave them to us. So the things that we take in through our senses literally become like, it's like our subconscious mind, like a radar for us to see out there the verification of what we already believe. So the subconscious mind tells the conscious mind how to think about what it's perceiving. And then we get the reinforcement of that from mom and dad, from aunts and uncles, from grandparents, from religious leaders, from school, from television and the media. It all verifies all of this stuff that's not true. And because in a society we have a lot of societal beliefs and fears, like almost everybody believes in lack, right? Whatever the media is constantly pumping becomes the belief system. And then that's passed on from one generation to another. When mom and dad get frustrated and yell at us, when mom and dad do something to indicate that we're not safe, like we perceive we're not safe because mom snaps one day and yells at us, instantly we know that she's not just the loving, goo, 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 look at the little baby, right? Like mom freaked out. And now we're reacting to that. That goes right in our subconscious mind, and it starts to cause a fraction where it creates this doubt as to, are we safe or not with this person? If we're getting more of the negative than we are the positive, we start to develop a core wound. And the core wound says that we're not lovable, or we're not worthy, or like in severe cases, when we're like in an, when mom and dad were, if they were abusive or somebody was abusive in our life, we start to think to ourselves that we're disgusting on the inside. It's like a real negative core wound. What it basically is a separation from the truth of what we really are. So we start to have a negative internal viewpoint of ourself versus a positive one that's based in the holistic truth of our divine greatness. But then it's worse because it builds from that place going forward. So one of the teaching tools that almost everybody on the planet uses with children is shame and guilt. You should be ashamed of yourself. You should feel bad that you did that to your sister, right? So shame and guilt is literally installed in our subconscious mind. And once it's installed, nobody ever has to do it again. We do it ourselves. We become ashamed of ourselves. We feel guilty. And what happens is that we then do things and automatically feel that way. And it just reinforces that. It reinforces it. So we're not actually coming from a value or an ethic of what it is that we should do. We're learning more negative stuff about ourselves, and it continues to increase the shame and guilt. But then we do something very unique to reinforce it. We start keeping secrets. You would not keep secrets if it wasn't for shame and guilt. And I'm not talking about national security secrets, okay? I'm talking about things that you don't want anybody to know because you're ashamed of them, and you all have them. Every one of you is walking around with them. All they do, as long as they're secrets, is verify that something's wrong with you. Now, let's just take these first three, okay? Literally, what takes place is that you're now growing up in this dynamic that we're calling a family. You have this dynamic that we call school. You have this dynamic that we call church, right? As you're growing up, you're exploring. All you are is a little bundle of expression. But when you do things that mom and dad don't like, that the teachers don't like, that the leadership at church doesn't like, what they do is they stop that expression. Don't you scream at me. I'll give you something to cry about. Stop crying. Quit screwing around. Stop daydreaming in school. Right? What are they doing? They're shaming us and making us wrong for the natural expression. Instead of correcting us and showing us how to express in a healthy way, they just make the expression wrong. And when they make the expression wrong, we internalize it as we're wrong. Because they don't say, you know what? I understand that you're angry. You can't behave that way in this setting, but let me show you how to express yourself in an angry way that's actually healthy. It's just go to your room or spank the kid for misbehaving or what it's a complete impatience and reaction to the child. And look, there's no perfect parent, right? But it is the consistent way that we're disciplining children. So then what ends up happening is we develop a core fear. And the core fear is out of this deep insecurity that there's a possibility that we'll lose mom and dad's love. That is a real insecurity when you think to yourself that from a genetic basis in our DNA, we can't survive without them. So that it's played off of, and then it grows. Everybody's main core fear is abandonment. If that's not healed by the time you're an adult, don't you think that's going to wreak havoc in every area of your life? Unbelievably. You get into a relationship, can you be your authentic self with your partner if you're afraid of abandonment? No. You won't say what you mean. You won't say what you think. You won't ask for what you want. You won't draw boundaries with what's not okay with you because you're afraid that person's going to leave. You'll do it at work. You'll do it with your employees. You'll do it with friends. How do you think so many people end up in dysfunctional and toxic relationships? They're afraid of abandonment. They're afraid to be alone. Somebody once said, you know, the first thing that happens when we're born is the umbilical cord gets cut, but we put it in our hand and carry it around looking for somebody else to plug it into for the rest of our life. That's what we do. So think. So now we develop this core fear. We can't express ourselves the way that we really want to. So what we start doing is we start taking on roles and patterns of way that we can express ourselves when we get some kind of positive feedback from our parental figures. We notice, oh, if I'm smart, if I show up smart, Dad's happy and he doesn't yell at me. Or Dad's happy and he doesn't hit Mom. Or Dad's happy and he doesn't drink too much. Or Dad's happy and he tells me I'm okay. In really bad scenarios, it's Dad's happy and he doesn't beat me. Or Dad's happy and he stops molesting me. True, right? So the patterns are developed on what we're doing is we're learning how to manipulate. We're not learning how to communicate. We're not learning how to love. We're not learning how to be safe in our own environment. We're not learning how to draw boundaries. We're learning how to out-manipulate the manipulation that we're under. Most parents don't learn how to love. They learn how to manipulate. They start off with the love with the child, but wait till that child starts doing something that's inconvenient for the parent. And that's where you have a baby that's screaming all night long, and you have a mother who's mentally ill because she grew up in a fractured household and she drowns her kids or throws them out a window or throws them in a garbage can or any kind of form of abuse or neglect. It doesn't just show up out of nowhere. It comes from years of systematic abuse and neglect. And it's on a spectrum. It can be from the very worst to mild. How you show up in the world is based on what was your experience in that environment. And if you shut down your ability to express yourself to your parents because you were only allowed to express yourself in ways that they deemed fit, you never got to know who you are for real. Because what you do is you shut the inner voice off. That inner voice is there for every person. It is the same direction as instinct is for the bird or the squirrel or the moose or a tree. It would tell you what to do, who to be, where to go, how to show up, but you have to learn to listen to it. But you have so many patterns and roles that you've taken on in life that tell you how to be so that you're safe with other people, so you don't lose the job, so you don't lose sex, so you don't lose the relationship, so you don't lose the security, so you don't lose your kids, so that you're constantly offended by what other people say and do. Like, you've taken on this position in order to be safe. You never find your authentic self. It's not that you don't have a purpose. It's not that you don't have desires. It's not that you are born to be successful, like unbelievably successful in the unique way that suits you. Not everybody's supposed to be a multimillionaire. But not everybody wants to either. What people really want to do is they want to make a difference. They want to be happy. They want to feel that what they're doing means something. When you're on purpose and doing what you want, there's nothing that feeds you like that. Nothing. That's why you got so emotional when we were talking, Ed, when you were saying about what you do. That's telling you something. You've got to pay attention to that. But if you keep shutting it off, eventually you get to the place where you can't find it anymore. It's there for all of us, that purpose, that desire. What we have to start to be aware of is how much information that we've been given that leads us in the opposite direction of that. Because when you're living a life and you're not happy, when you're not making the money that you want, when you're not expressing yourself the way that you want, when you're in a relationship that sucks, what you're really doing is you're listening to somebody else's voice in your head. You're not listening to yourself. And you've got so many insecurities, you don't know even how to make a decision to move yourself out of that place and into the place where you want to be. Then you've got this crazy loyalty that goes on in our mind. I can't not be friends with this person. And it's worse with our own family, right? You've got somebody in your family who's literally toxic. I'm not talking about somebody who's a little mildly dysfunctional that doesn't communicate really well. That you can deal with. But when somebody's literally toxic or abusive, and you keep that person in your life because they're your family, something's seriously wrong. You got to ask yourself, why would I subject myself to this? They're not going to change. They don't want to change. They don't think there's anything wrong with them. They think it's always you or somebody else. And you keep showing up hoping that it's going to be different. That's dysfunctional on your part. Probably one of the main reasons why they never change is because nobody says, fuck off. Get the hell away from me. Get your shit together, and then we can talk. Everybody finds a way to accept it. Right. Think about that justification, though, because they're family, right? Why do we do that? Because we're afraid of abandonment. It goes all the way back to that core wound that when we're a kid, that if we don't have that person in our life, we will die. It is not a logical thought. It's an emotional thought that's coming out of your subconscious mind because your subconscious mind doesn't know how to be safe without this. All it sees is the unknown. And the unknown is terrifying to the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind likes patterns. It likes repetition. It likes you to keep doing the same thing over and over again, even if you're miserable, because at least you're alive. So it's doing its job. But you're given the ability to choose and consciousness so that you can override those patterns and create the life that you were put here to live. It then shows up in our life as our environment, and then we repeat it. Because we don't have the tools to make a different choice. We go into confusion, we go into fear, and then we can't see clearly as to do something different. We don't know how. So we do the thing that's going to keep us safe. In Date with Your Dark Side, we teach people the tools on how to do that so that you can express yourself fully in the world. It's not like we take somebody through that program and all their problems are gone. We deal with the most major problems that have come out of their childhood, because everything comes out of your childhood. But then we give you the tools on how to deal with that for the rest of your life. That's why I say everybody needs to do that or something equivalent to it, because if you don't, where are you going to learn how to do it? Where? You won't. You never will. You'll keep dealing with the same problems all the way to your grave. But what's worse, and that's the reason why I called it Date with Your Dark Side, is because everything is in a constant state of growth. If you're doing something that's dysfunctional, that's growing in your life. It's literally growing. And it may be causing a little problem now, but as it grows, one day it's going to cause a catastrophe. You're headed for the catastrophe. See, the universe is always trying to turn you around to get you to step into your purpose, but the way that it does that is by you making mistakes. We have a consciousness. We're supposed to be able to recognize mistakes. But when we were taught to tolerate mistakes, when we were taught to tolerate doing the wrong thing, when we were taught to tolerate other people doing the wrong thing, then it's like, okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to tolerate that because I'm going to sacrifice my own happiness and destiny in order to be safe. So that then stays in my life. So then the toxicity, the dysfunction, whatever it is, that stays in my life. So you keep chugging along down this road until it blows up in front of you. The problem with that is when it blows up, usually a person doesn't have the emotional ability to turn it around. So they're at the weakest point of their life, facing the biggest problem or challenge that they've ever had, and they don't have the tools to turn it around. Why do you think so many people commit suicide? That's the place that they hit. because they don't have the ability to turn it around. There's no reason for a person to go bankrupt. There's no reason for major catastrophes in a person's life if they can identify what's not going on now and stop brushing it under the carpet and learn how to deal with it and then get on the right road for their life. It's amazing what happens when you do that, when you literally learn how to deal with your past and not have it to take 20 years on a therapist's couch to be able to do that, but you're giving solid, realistic tools that allow you to deal with that so you can step into your purpose, now you're living. And the best part about it for me when I was going through this was the realization one day when I was no longer scared, when I was no longer insecure, when I didn't worry about where the money or the resources or anything was coming from anymore, when I had mastered those skills and it was like, fuck. I had absolutely no idea how much time I was spending in fear, in doubt, in worry. And this is the way that we're supposed to live. This was the place you were supposed to be brought to when you became an adult. Very close to that. That's self-sufficient, owning yourself first and the skill sets and really be able to go out and make a mark in the world for your life. But we grow up with all of those insecurities and no tools, and we go out and we just replicate the patterns and the problems that have been handed down for generations. We got to think. We have to really wake up to what's going on. We're not supposed to live in this kind of chaos. We're the highest form of life that we're aware of, and we're the most chaotic. So it leads you like to one or two questions. Like, either we come from a sadistic god or entity or whatever the hell put us here, or there's something we don't understand. I learned that that question has been with me since 1970, when that big trauma event hit my family. And they all started going crazy. I was like, something's wrong. Here I am in school and in church being taught that we come from a loving God and we're supposed to do good in the world. And I see just all this chaos and everybody's miserable. Like, why? I didn't understand why. And nobody could answer the question. And that was in the late 60s, right? So late 60s, early 70s, we're still in the Vietnam War. Martin Luther King was just killed. Like, there's all this crazy shit going on in the world. And I'm like, something's wrong. And I really believed that it had something to do with what we didn't understand. And that's where my journey started, trying to figure out what the hell is it that we're missing as human beings that's causing this craziness. You have no idea what the feeling's like to be able to step in your purpose and be able to say, I'm literally living proactively. I am so enthusiastic about getting better every day because life really is an adventure. That's not just a neat little saying or a metaphor. It's actually real and you can live that way. If you're willing to do that work, everything changes. Everything changes. And then you're really going out there and making a difference. You're accepting yourself, all of you, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You're accepting it, and if there's something about yourself that you don't like or you realize you want to change, you don't beat yourself up about it. You don't go into shame and guilt spiral anymore. You change it because you've got the tools to change it. You don't collapse like so many people do. And then, like, taking the social media, the things that you're doing, the posts that you're making, the content that you're putting out there, you literally see things very differently. You're no longer part of that world. not in the way that you are now. It's almost like right now, this is the way you are with the entire world. You don't see a difference between you and them. And I'm not talking about something that's arrogant or egotistical. I'm talking about the lies that they believe in. So now you can take your message and you can make it extremely clear and powerful for the people that you want to help, because you want to bring them with you, the ones that want to go. You want to set them free in whatever problems that they're having. But when you don't believe in their lies anymore, now you have the ability to influence. As long as you still believe in their lies about why they can't do it, why they won't do it, what it is that they're afraid of, they're selling you. They're manipulating you to believe in their lack, their fear, their insecurities. There's always one person influencing another. And the person with the most confidence and the most awareness will always influence the other. That's the place that you want to get to. That's what you want to communicate intellectually, emotionally, spiritually, energetically. That's what changes the world. That's what changes your world.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.